Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow saints of God, just a quick show of hands. Who here has ever heard the name of Gary Ridgway? I think I've seen one hand. And that's okay, it doesn't surprise me. Because Gary Ridgway is known by a different name. He is called the Green River Killer. He is the most prolific serial killer that has happened in our country. For over a period of 3 decades, he murdered at least 48 women. Eventually, he was caught and put on trial. And at the end of his trial, the court allowed the family members of the victims to speak to Gary Ridgway. You can just imagine what most of those people said to him. You could just imagine what you yourself would say to him. But there was one father whose daughter was a victim, and he had this to say. Mr. Ridgway, there are people here who hate you. I'm not one of them. You have made it difficult to live up to what I believe, and that is what God says to do, which is to forgive. God doesn't say to forgive just certain people. He says to forgive all. So you are forgiven for what you have done. It was not easy for this father to say this, but he was trying to follow what Jesus tells us to do this morning. As we take one more look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we are reminded that he has told us how blessed we are, how he told us to be who we are, and told us to live a holy life. And this morning, Jesus tells us that we are Christ's, both without and with the apostrophe. So what does it mean that we are Christ's without the apostrophe? Well, earlier in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he told us to let our light of Christ shine to all people. We are to be examples of Christ to all people. And notice how I've been saying to all people. We are not just supposed to be Christ to those that we like. We are to be Christ even to people who have harmed us. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Now allow me to repeat what I said in last week's sermon. Notice that Jesus does not say, Scripture says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. He says, it has been said to you, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were quoting Scripture, but they were not giving the true meaning behind Scripture and what it was saying. So what does it mean when God said eye for eye, tooth for tooth? When God said this, he was establishing a principle for the government to use. The punishment should fit the crime. So if someone knocked out another person's tooth, the punishment should not be death. And if someone took someone else's life, the punishment should not be minor. That's what God meant when he said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But the people in Jesus' day misunderstood what God was saying. They thought that they had every right to retaliate and to harm people and get revenge for those who have wronged them. But Jesus says this is not right. He tells us, do not resist an evil person. And he gives us a few examples of what this looks like. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. If a person physically harms us, our first thoughts should not be how we can harm them back. And when we do, we can therefore say to them, this is payback for what you have done to me. Instead, Jesus says, if they strike you on the cheek, turn the other cheek to them. If someone is suing us, our first thoughts should not be on how we can get revenge and sue that person back. Jesus says, if they're suing you for your shirt, give them your coat as well. Jesus says, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Back in Jesus' day, the Roman soldiers could force civilians to carry their equipment for them for 1 mile. If that happened to you, how would you feel? You might become angry, frustrated, and view it as an inconvenience that you had to do this for them. But Jesus says, don't get mad at them for this. Instead, be glad and go with them an extra mile. And if someone wants to borrow something from us, Jesus says, do not resist them, but freely give to them. Now we have to make it clear what Jesus is and is not saying here. Jesus is not saying that it's sinful to use self-defense. God has entrusted our lives and the lives of our families to protect. Jesus is not saying that it is wrong to defend yourselves in court if someone is suing you. Jesus is not saying that you always have to give things to people. For if we do that, we may be supporting a habit of drugs, drunkenness, or excessive gambling. Jesus' point here is that we are not to retaliate and to seek revenge on people. But why would we do that? Well, Paul this morning gave us 2 reasons. One, he said, vengeance is the Lord's. The Lord will repay people for what they have done, either in this life or when he comes to judge the living and the dead. And Paul tells us that, second of all, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As we show love and kindness to people who harm us, we are heaping burning coals on their heads, which means we are putting them to shame for what they do to us. This is how we are Christ's to all people, including those who have harmed us. And so I ask you, how well of a Christ have you been to people? Have you ever gotten revenge or retaliated against someone? If someone physically harms you, do you think you have every right to harm them back at some point in time? Maybe someone betrays your trust by sharing a secret that you shared with them in private, and therefore you think you have every right to share things about that person to others? Or maybe someone has borrowed something from you and has refused to return it. And so do you think that you have every right to either, one, refuse to give them anything else, or two, to take something from them and refuse to return it? Or even if you don't retaliate or get revenge on someone, you may think that you have every right to hate that person in your heart because they are now your enemy. But if that is the case, listen to what Jesus says. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Here we see a perfect example of how the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were teaching people the wrong things. The first part of their statement about loving your neighbor was correct. That's exactly what Scripture says. But the second part of their statement of hating your enemy was something that they added. God has never told us to hate our enemies. In fact, in his law, God had this to say. If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to take it back to him. They were to love their enemies, but they thought it was okay to hate their enemies. Now, Jesus tells us that if we are to be Christ to all people, that means we are to love our enemies. We are to pray for them. Because doing this, we show ourselves to be children of our Heavenly Father. And look at what our Father does. He causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God loves all people. He sends the rain and his Son for both the righteous and for the wicked. And since we are children of our Heavenly Father, we are to be Christ to all people by loving them and praying for them. But do we? Just think about the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, God, thy kingdom come. When we pray that, we are asking God to send his word out to all people, including our enemies, to bring them to faith and to repentance. In the Lord's Prayer, we ask God, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It would be selfish and wrong for us to ask God to forgive us our sins, but then to refuse to forgive those who have sinned against us. We are to pray for our enemies, but maybe instead we pray against them. We may pray to God to cause their lives to be miserable, to punish them for what they have done, and to refuse forgiveness to them because they are our enemies. This is not right. This is not being Christ to all people. And it doesn't just end there. Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you only greet your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? If we only love those who love us, and if we only greet those that we like, then Jesus says, congrats, you are no different than the tax collectors and the unbelieving pagans who do the same things. That's exactly what we can do. We may only love those who love us so that they will be kind to us or we can get things from them. We may only greet those that we like, but other people, we just give them the cold shoulder and refuse to say hello to them. This is not right. This is not being Christ to all people. And if we continue to live this way, then what hope do we have to enter into eternal life? For Jesus says, be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. This is not a suggestion from Jesus. It is a command. We are to be perfect in everything that we do, just like our God is perfect in every way. And only those who are perfect may enter into heaven. But perfect, we are not. Instead of being Christ to all people and showing ourselves to be children of our Heavenly Father, we can sometimes show ourselves as being children of Satan, who only wants us to hate our enemies, to pray against them, and to get revenge. By nature, we belonged to Satan. By nature, we obeyed him. By nature, we were not perfect, and by nature, we were not going to enter into heaven. But remember the second part of my sermon theme that's printed before you. We are Christ's with the apostrophe. We no longer belong to Satan. Rather, as Christians, we belong to Christ. And what was he like? He did not hate his enemies, and he did not pray evil upon them or to seek revenge. And the greatest example of this is found in the final hours of Jesus' life. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas came to betray Jesus by giving him a kiss to show the Roman soldiers who they were to arrest, Jesus said, "Friend, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Jesus did not call Judas his enemy. He called him his friend. He was still reaching out to him to save him. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Jesus did not tell his disciples to fight for him. Instead, he told his disciples to put their swords away, and he allowed himself to be arrested. When Jesus was put on a mock trial before the Sanhedrin, and they blindfolded him and hit him across the face and said, "If you are the Christ, then tell us who hit you," Jesus did not fight back, even though he had the power to easily do that. And even when the Roman soldiers mocked him, whipped him, crucified him, and stripped him of his clothing, Jesus did not pray against them. But he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus was the perfect Christ to all people, including his enemies, which also includes us. For Scripture says, "When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son." By nature, we were God's enemies, but he still loved us. So not only was Jesus the perfect Christ to all people, he was also the perfect sacrifice for all people. Because of his death on the cross, we have been forgiven of our sins. And through faith in Christ, we now receive his perfection. When God looks at us, he does not see our sins. He only sees the perfect life of Christ. And that is why we can be perfect to enter into heaven. But let us not use this as an excuse to continue to hate our enemies, pray against them, or to seek revenge. But since we belong to Christ, let us be Christ to all people. Love those who hate you and persecute you. Pray for them that God can bring them to faith and to repentance, and overcome evil by doing good for them. In this way, we show ourselves to be children of our Father, because we belong to Christ, and Christ is our perfection and our motivation to be Christ to all people. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.